You're listening to HP3R, Higher Power Ranger Recovery Radio. All recovery, all the time. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. Today on Recovery Buddies with David, I want to talk with you about the 12 steps as a process, how they work, why they work, and in particular, I'm going to focus on those middle steps, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and how transformative they are. In my opinion, the key to understanding why a 12-step program like OA succeeds, where everything else fails to rid us of our addictive compulsive behaviors, is because of steps 4 through 7. Those are the steps where we change on a spiritual level before we begin to change the way we go about our day-to-day lives in a physical and mental sense. To put it another way, a spiritual program like OA can achieve physical and mental changes in our lives that lead to long-lasting, better behavior. Changes that family, friends, and outsiders describe as miraculous. The OA 12 and 12 talks about how many of us addicts feel isolated from other people. We feel that we are outsiders, and we act out this feeling in many ways because, deep down, we feel alone and set apart. Through the middle steps of the program, we can take positive action to end our isolation. The steps are a process specifically focused on us as individuals. In steps 1, 2, and 3, we define and explore our spirituality. For some of us, this was brand new. For others, this was an opportunity to focus and refine what we had been raised to believe. It is in these first three steps that we establish our understanding and relationship with the higher power of our choosing. Newcomers, if they make it past all the rhetoric of steps 1, 2, and 3, and acclimate to the spiritual elements of the program, then they run into step 4, that dreaded inventory of all past wrongs, pains, and character defects. And when they hear about step 4, I've seen many newcomers react like this. A complete inventory of all the things I've ever done that were wrong? All the things that make me angry, ashamed, and sad? Are you crazy? I've seen some whose eyes got really wide. They turned pale and bit their bottom lip. I always say to them, why are you so scared? You already know everything there is to know about yourself. You were there when it happened. There is nothing to fear in step 4. It is an act of honest reflection, of taking stock of who you are up to that point in your life. The sum total of everything that led to a life of misery and suffering. You need to acknowledge and accept why you are so unhappy and that you feel helpless to stop your addictive, compulsive, self-destructive behavior. Key words: accept and acknowledge. Or to put it the way the 12 and 12 does, in acknowledging these truths about our past to our higher power, we begin at last to acknowledge them to ourselves. We admit to ourselves who we've been, what we've done. As we do this, we gain new hope. We start to feel that we can forgive ourselves, be forgiven, and move towards creating a new life free from food obsession. A new life free from food obsession. That is what this program has to offer. A lot of newcomers, when they hear about the inventory, they cringe. But you need to understand that taking this inventory is only effective if you are as honest and as complete as you can be. And facing that metaphorical spiritual mirror can be intimidating. But it is an action that ultimately will lead to your transformation. It is the start of your recovery. It's your ticket to ride this train, and find a new life and a new freedom through spiritual, emotional, and physical recovery that ultimately leads to the complete psychic change needed to discover our full potential and happiness. I don't think people are really scared of step 4. No. What they are really scared of is step 5, because step 5 has 3 parts. Admit to ourselves, that's the inventory. Admit to God, and then dun 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 dun. Admit to another human being. Now we've reached the real issue. That's what really feels uncomfortable. Some people might think, well, this is a spiritual program, right? It's just between me and my higher power, right? Do I really need that other person there? Yes. Yes, you do. Then they'll ask me, well, why? Why do I have to take step 5? And I answer, because nothing in us can be changed until we first accept it. Step 5 helps us to know and accept ourselves, thus making it possible for us to change and recover. And if that doesn't convince them, then I pull out the 12 and 12 again and I read this quote. By sharing the details of our past with another human being, we take an important step towards freedom, because then we no longer have anything to hide. This is the beginning of the end of our isolation. To me, step 5 is the blue light before you are infused with power. Now, what do I mean by that? Blue is the color of healing, of rebirth, of life and regeneration. The 12 and 12 describe step 5 as us willingly opening our hearts so that a life-changing power can come in and heal us. If I were to use a metaphor to describe the process of going through the steps, then I would say that the process is like going through a doorway. Steps 6 and 7 are the actual progression through the door. Step 6, you're on this side of the door. Step 7, you're on that side of the door. This side is who you were. That side is who you will become. This was you powerless and enslaved by your addiction. That is you infused with power so that you get to decide how you want to live your life. This is why, to me, step 5 is the blue light, the healing, before you are infused with power from a source greater than you. You change because you have gathered up all of your inventory, all the things that brought you to rock bottom, to the ruinous, defeated state where you are ready to give up and try something else, something spiritual. Steps 1, 2, and 3 define your relationship to your higher power. Step 4 is everything that was your life before that relationship with your higher power. And now you stand before the doorway, ready to change and become a better person. And step 5 is how you reach for the door handle. Reach towards that blue light that will heal you. And if you are not willing to take step 5, then that door is never going to open. We all need what step 5 has to offer us. And that is exactly this, that there is another individual who knows us truly and fully, yet accepts us anyway. Because once we have that, then we begin to experience trust, and we feel that if another person can accept us unconditionally, then perhaps we can accept ourselves unconditionally as well. The program offers recovery in 3 folds: spiritual, emotional, and physical. You are only going to get all 3 if you are willing to take step 5 to its completeness, and that includes trusting another human being with that inventory. Trusting that that person is not there to judge you, to attack you, not even really to tell you how to fix it. Just to let you air out your past and your feelings, to say aloud to yourself, to your higher power, and to another human being, This is everything that I was. Stand a witness, because I'm about to hand all of this over. I'm going to surrender all of it to my higher power, and then I'm going through that door over there to a better, different way of life and get that total psychic change needed to expel my addiction. And that psychic change will hold up because of the integrity that you gain from step 5. You get to like yourself again, and you get to believe and trust again. Because we addicts, we are creatures who fear and isolate, and it is very difficult for us to trust. Or, to put it the way the 12 and 12 does, through the fifth step process, we begin to see reality. We are neither above nor below the rest of the human race. We are a part of it, shaped by the same basic needs and desires as our fellows. Those of us who have belittled ourselves or felt we were worse than others also gain a new perspective. In sharing honestly with another person, we begin to feel a sense of relief. Someone knows all about us and still accepts us unconditionally. We begin to forgive ourselves and see ourselves as capable, strong, and honest. It can be really hard to give trust because bad things happen to people in the world. For those of us who have compulsive tendencies and have lived more difficult lives, we have had really bad things happen to us. Traumas that are part of our experience. When bad things happen, it's very natural to try and protect yourself and prevent whatever it was from happening again. We sort of clench up, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. We pull back from people, give in to worry, and maybe even hide away in our homes and lie on our beds in a fetal position to try and feel safe. We long for that safety feeling, but when we are reluctant to trust, to try things, to believe in the possibilities of the here and now, if we think in a negative way, with an all-or-nothing attitude, chasing false perfection, then we create self-fulfilling prophecies that shackle our potential. To put it more plainly, if I think my life is only going to be good when I get to 200 pounds, my healthy goal weight, then all other options, all other doors, all other avenues of happiness are closed off until that parameter is met. I have sentenced myself to being unhappy until and unless I reach 200 pounds, and that's a miserable way to live. Not to mention that happiness, real happiness, has nothing to do with a number on a scale, nor has it ever come from eating a bunch of fatty foods or drinking lots of sugary drinks and alcohol. At least, none of that ever worked for me. The only thing that ever made me really happy was being connected with other people. When I find ways to experience those connections, I feel a lot better, and I'm willing to bet that a lot of you listening to this episode probably feel the same way. When you attend an OA meeting, just by showing up, you are connected to other people in the meeting, and this gives you a boost, an extra something to keep taking things one day at a time. Human beings need to feel connections with each other and with the world around us. And when we are doing things and not just being isolated and alone in our sadness, our shame, and the misery of our addictions, then we find recovery because we find strength in each other. Think about the online Zoom meetings. In those rooms are people who are sometimes hundreds of miles apart, but they are connected to each other through the program. They help each other to live better, to be healthier, to stop shaming themselves, to act with kindness towards themselves and each other. Thus, in those connections, through that support, we can find the strength to stop giving in to despair and start living better because we belong. We're not alone. It feels good to belong, to be included rather than set apart. In OA, I am amongst all of you as part of the community. Our connections in program are the source of our strength. The strength to take step 5, to open the door, then move forward by taking step 6, entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, leads you to finding yourself on the other side of the door with step 7, humbly asking Him to remove your shortcomings and thus become empowered with a life free from the obsession of addiction. It is a transformation from what you were to what you will become, from addiction and despair to healing and hope. The blue light in step 5 infuses you by trusting another human being and discovering that you can be forgiven because you are fully and unconditionally accepted for who you are. And you are a person who is worthy of living a healthy, happy life. We all are. The recovery journey doesn't end there, though, because, you know, there's still steps 8 through 12, but those steps are a whole other phase of recovery to be discussed in another episode. I will say that the remaining steps are where you shift your focus from internal to external, from self-reflection to self-improvement. After step 7, we each have a job, and that job is to be willing to let go of old attitudes such as low self-esteem, status-seeking, and self-righteousness. It is our responsibility to oppose those old attitudes and expel them from our thoughts when they come a-knockin'. But why, oh why, do those thoughts still pass through my head, you might ask? Because life is still going to happen. The fast food restaurants are still scattered all over town. Birthday parties and holidays will continue to occur, carrying with them all those fancy drinks and the abundant amounts of foods and sweets. But when you face them, because you have been through the middle steps and received that transformative experience, you are no longer powerless. You have rediscovered how to trust. You've gained integrity, and you emerge with a sense of humility that lets you strive to live a life of balance and moderation rather than one driven by compulsions and status-seeking. When a triggering event occurs and you feel that first negative thought, you don't have to follow it. You don't have to criticize yourself, set yourself apart, isolate and demean who you are, thinking in black or white terms, all or nothing, perfect or ruined. Instead, you abandon those old attitudes and breathe. Breathe in calmness and reliance on your higher power and the fellowship, because you are not alone. You are part of this community, and our connections in program are the source of our strength. Earlier, I quoted the 12 and 12 in how it promises that going through the steps will result in creating a new life free from food obsession. I can't tell you what that will look like for you, because that is up to you and your higher power. You get to decide what your goals are and what you want your life to be. But I can tell you about a recent event in my life that I think represents what a life free from food obsession means. Last week, my friends were over hanging out. Now, my friends know that I'm in OA, and I've explained to them that they are welcome to bring any food or drinks that they want to my home, but they have to take any leftovers with them when they leave. My friends are very understanding and supportive of my efforts to improve my life and my health, qualities that we should all be so lucky to find. Anyway, a few hours into the evening, one of my friends asked me to drive him to the Taco Bell across the street. This is the same Taco Bell that I used to frequent multiple times a week when I was still compulsively eating, but I've not been there for over 3 years, or any other fast food restaurant for that matter. I will admit that I had a moment of hesitation when I realized that if I drove him over there, then that would be the first time going through a drive-thru in more than 3 years, but I didn't feel any worry about it. My higher power and the program had taken that worry from me. So we got into my truck and drove over to the drive-thru. As we were waiting for his food, I thought about how he was spending $18 for a single meal that amounted to about 3,000 calories. That is double the number of calories that I have for my entire day. Then I started thinking about how much food I could buy at a grocery store for $18. I could get enough vegetables for each of my dinners for an entire week. Or I could buy 3 or 4 of the Lean Cuisine frozen dinners. Or I could buy hot dogs for my lunch for 3 days. Through the entire drive over, the drive back, and while my friend sat there in my front room eating, I felt no hunger, no temptation, nor anger or regret. That's food neutrality. That, to me, is an example of what the 12 and 12 means by a life free from food obsession. I take a moment every day, usually in the morning, to thank my higher power for the calmness that is in my stomach, for the fact that I rarely feel hunger pains, that I eat to nourish myself and stick to my food plan with a degree of comfort and confidence. I rejoice in my improved strength, mobility, and the clearness and clarity in my thoughts. I no longer walk around in a daze or feeling a sleepy, jet lag kind of weight to my emotions and energy. These results were all achieved by taking things one day at a time, by focusing on completing the list of goals I have each day on the whiteboard in my front room. And to be clear, I have never once written a broad, huge goal like walk every single day for the rest of my life or walk every single day of this month. No. I write, go for my walk. That's it. Just for today, I have the responsibility to go for a walk. I have the responsibility to follow my food plan. I know as long as I keep focusing my goals on just for today, as the program suggests that I do, then yeah, at the end of the month, I will have gone for a walk every single day of that month. But my focus was not on a grand goal in the far-off future. My focus remains here in the present. This is where we work the steps. This is where we live by the principles of the program. This moment, today, now, and just for today. Tomorrow doesn't exist yet, but when tomorrow does arrive, I will treat it the same way I treated today because that's all I have to do. How did I get the strength to let go of all the regret, fear, anger, and shame in my past? How did I find the healing and the hope to live my life anew, free from food obsession, making progress one day at a time? I found it in those middle steps, in their transformative process, going from being alone and disconnected to belonging and feeling connected to others. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. I thank you for listening and hope that you enjoyed what I had to say. Remember, dear listener, you, me, and everyone else in this fellowship is worthy of recovery. You can have a relationship with food that leads to a healthy body. You are worthy of that. All it takes is time, consistency, and willingness. I'll talk to you next time, buddy. You've been listening to HP3R, Higher Power Ranger Recovery Radio. All recovery, all the time. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a review. If you'd like to send us an email, then write to hp3rpodcast@gmail.com. Remember to tune in on Thursdays for episodes of Daily Dose of Recovery, and check back on Mondays for future episodes of Recovery Buddies with David, here on HP3R.